Andy. I was just thinking, I wonder if the leadership here have your name down as being a speaker. If not, then it's something that they should consider. It's good to be back with you again. I've shared with some that it's been a busy time for me. I've been responsible for our Wednesday night studies, and it means spending a lot of time in the Word. And the two other speakers before me on a Wednesday night, they took a couple weeks to get through the portions that they had, and for whatever reason, mine fell where there was, I think there's probably a total of maybe 95 verses to go through. So I've done a two, and we started just having a time of prayer the first Wednesday of every month. We used to have on the first Wednesday every month, it would be a time of prayer, and then one of the men would get up and share. And the leadership felt that with all that was going on, a lot of sickness, things that are happening with different families, that it would be advantageous to just spend that hour in complete time of prayer. And it is difficult. One of the things that still surprises me is the I don't know, it seems to be the lack of the Spirit leading the men to be praying, and it's something that we all need to be encouraged about. So once again, I am thankful. I know that when Steve had called a few weeks ago, I committed this week and next week to speak. After today, he might say, no, we can get perhaps Randy. We'll see. But I'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 1 today. Ephesians chapter 1, please. One of the things, too, as you grow older, you do appreciate is the time of remembrance. And this morning, being here, it was great to have different ones participating and sharing. I'll say this publicly, and it'll be recorded. I'm still waiting to hear David share the times that I do come. So, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful that we've had a time of remembrance in which we recall what our Lord and Savior did on Calvary's cross. Time which we can sing praises to him. And Father, whether audibly or silently, we can just say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We thank you that we can be obedient to your command, this do in remembrance of me. So we thank you for the precious time this morning. And as your word is opened, as it's presented, we pray that the Holy Spirit would work and move, not only in my heart and life, but in those who are here this morning. Whether young or old, you might have something for us to take from this place, and that we would be able to say thank you, Lord, for working in my heart and life, for using me, for guiding and directing and helping along Christ's path. As mentioned earlier, we do continue to remember Emerson and Kirk. Pray that you provide your comfort and grace to them and other family members at this time. Father, it's tough in these past few days for them to see what Rhonda has had to endure and go through. But now they know she's in your presence. But Father, for them, the coming days are going to be difficult as well. So we pray that you would indeed be with them. Father, we think of our sister Linda. That you would be with her as she would be going to Hamilton this week. And Father, sometimes it's the unknown that concerns us deeply. But we pray again that your hand would be upon her, Steve, and their families, Lord. Father, I want to thank you too for the faith family. When you see how they were able to come together, support one another, pray one for another, Father, it means that there is that love that you have imparted to each and every one. So we do thank you. So bless your word, bless our time together as we commit it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, already my throat is starting to bother me. This happened Wednesday night too. When we look at Ephesians chapter 1, there's so much in this chapter. I'm sure someone like Matt could spend 2 or 3 weeks going through this chapter. But a few things that the Lord has laid on my heart, I doubt if we'll be getting anywhere near through it, but try to at least get down to the first 14 verses and perhaps just say some things that the Lord spoke to me about. I think if we want a topic or theme for this chapter, we'll be blessed with all spiritual blessings, and even the book of Ephesians, as we go through it, would testify to who that. Bit of background, Ephesus was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. It was the capital city of the chief province of Asia and located approximately 1 mile from the Aegean Sea. It was well known for its temple of Artemis or Diana. And many silversmiths, as you read through Ephesians, you will find this out, who sold images of this goddess and her temple. And innkeepers and hoteliers became wealthy from the many worshippers flocking to the city. And because of that, idolatry, occultism, magic, and sorcery became prevalent. The author Paul. This epistle, along with Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon, were written while he was imprisoned in Rome. It was probably written between AD 60 and 62. And for what Paul did or encountered in Ephesus, we can go to Acts chapter 19. And going through that chapter, just the 4 points of that, for example, verse 10 says that he ministered for 2 years. And it says that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So the word was presented, it was spread, and it says all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. What a powerful message the word of God is, that it can be taken and it will spread. We know that in many cases, especially if we look through the book of Acts, that there were a number of believers who, after Christ rose, ascended to heaven. There was much persecution. And instead of, you know, going within themselves, staying in their own homes, it gave them a boldness to take the word of God out there. And verse 11 of Acts 19 says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, much that God used through Paul. And in verse 17 it says the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And isn't that what we want to see? We don't want to see ourselves being talked about. We want the name of the Lord Jesus be magnified. And in verse 20 of Acts 19, it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So Paul was used in many instances. When I looked at a bit of the life of Paul, it was interesting to note that it says about him that, first of all, in Ephesians 1:1, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. It was by the will of God. And I was reading a portion this week, and it talked about one verse that said about Paul. And I'd just like to dwell on that a bit. In Galatians 1:15, verse 19, it says, but when it pleased God, this is Paul speaking, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen or nations, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. And then if you look at Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, it talks about the conversion of Paul. And when Paul was on that road, there was a great light, and the Lord spoke to him. And you remember that after his conversion, he was blinded. And it says in Acts 9:15, as the Lord spoke to another person, Ananias, he says to Ananias, "He, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name among the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So what struck me as I read that verse in Galatians 1:15, it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb." That means that God had a purpose and plan for Paul's life when he was in his mother's womb. And yet when you read about Paul's conversion and what he was doing before that, he was the one who, when Stephen was martyred, he was there. He was the one that was on his way to have believers cast in prison when this light came and shone, and when Paul had to bow the knee, and when he came to save in faith in Christ. And in verse 15 of Acts 9 it says, God says, "He's a chosen vessel unto me. I want to tell you parents that continue praying for your children. Continue living before them and teaching them the things of God. Because if God has a purpose for their lives, we know that there's things that can happen in a person's life. And as I say, when you look at the life of Paul, and when he was growing up, he knew much about the scriptures. He did, you know, when you think of the persecution of believers, etc. And yet God had his hand on his life. Your children may disappoint you as they grow up, especially their teen years, when there's a lot of peer pressure. But I want to tell you that continue to persevere, because we don't know how God is able to use that one. I perhaps said this before, when you read about David's life in the Old Testament, and you read that it's said of him that God had a special purpose for him, and yet you know what David did, not only with the adultery, but with the murder, that God still used this man. And God had certainly a hold of Paul's life, and he knew that at the right moment, Paul was going to come to him. And as we look in Ephesians, we find that a lot of people have difficulty when it says in verse 4, he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adopted children by Jesus Christ to himself. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Are we going to be willing to follow through and be obedient to him? We find that in this portion of Galatians 1, but when it pleased God, Paul traced all his hopes of eternal life and all the good influences which he had ever borne upon his mind to God, who separated me, that is, who destined me, or who purposed from my very birth that I should be a preacher and an apostle. The meaning is that God had in his secret purposes set him apart to be an apostle. It does not mean that he had actually called him in his infancy to the work, for this was not so, but that he designed him to be an important instrument in his hands in spreading the word of God. So, as the commentator went on from this is follows from this, that God often, if not always, has purposes in regard to people from their very birth. He designs them for some field of labor. He endows them at their creation with talents adopted to them, so that even a person who might have musical talents or skills as far as art is concerned, etc., from a young child, God is able to take that in later life and develop it, and who knows how he is going to use that person. Number three of this point says, God is often training up people in a remarkable manner for future usefulness. His eye is upon them. He watches over them until the time comes for their conversion. This providence was concerned in the education and training of Paul. It was by the divine intention, with reference to his future work, that he had so many opportunities of education and was so well acquainted with the traditions of that religion which he was yet to demonstrate to be unfounded and false. He gave him the opportunity to cultivate his mind, prepared to grapple with the Jew in argument, and show him how unfounded were his hopes. So it is often now. He gives to a young man an opportunity of a finished education. Perhaps he suffers him to fall into the snares of infidelity, to become familiar with the arguments of skeptics, that he may thus be better prepared to meet their sophisms and to enter into their feelings. God's eye is upon them in their wanderings. They are often allowed to wander far, to range the fields of science, to become distinguished as scholars as Paul was, until the time comes for their conversion. And then, in accordance with the purpose which set them apart from the world, God converts them and consecrates all their talents and attainments to his service. And Paul continues to say in Galatians, "And called me by his grace, so that on the way to Damascus, it was special grace, because he was then engaged in bitterly opposing him and his cause." Another example of being set apart, if we go to the Old Testament, Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1:5, we read, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in my mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So not only Paul in the New Testament, Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and even some of the portions of Scripture that we read, doesn't it remind you of Moses? Moses said, "Lord, I can't speak." Seems as though the Lord said to him, "I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms." So we have Paul, an apostle, one who was called of God, one who from his birth, God had a hold of his life And many years later, Paul realized that God was going to use him in a mighty and powerful way. He can do that with us as well. But we need to be yielding to him, serving him. In a number of the hymns, as Jose mentioned this morning, the word grace was mentioned. And when you look at Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I trust that perhaps next week this is a portion of scripture that I'll be sharing with you. But when you think of the grace of God that, as someone said, is unmerited favor, it's something that we don't deserve, but by God's grace he sent his son, and it says it is the gift of God. It's something that God has done for us. What we need to do is to accept it, because it is a free gift. And with Christmas coming, birthdays or anniversaries, whatever, and if a person receives the gift, they don't have to pay for it. They receive it and they say, thank you. This is the gift of God. This is salvation that we receive. But in verse 2 of 1, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at this grace, in this epistle and in other epistles, it's mentioned 11 times in various passages. Grace and peace, both of them joining together. And then in 1 Timothy 1:2, it says grace, mercy, and peace. But grace is God's undeserved kindness towards ungodly sinners. And Schofield says, instead of looking for good men whom it may approve, grace is looking for condemned, guilty, speechless, and helpless men who it may save, sanctify, and glorify. But grace also means divine assistance for daily living, for need is strength from God in order to face the problems, trials, and sorrows of life. This is what Emerson and Kirk will experience in the coming days. Peace. And peace is the result of grace. When a sinner receives the Savior, he has peace with God. We need God's peace that is independent of changing circumstances and that results in taking everything to God in prayer. So we have grace, we have peace. And who is it from? It's from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. A verse that comes to mind is also Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we have Paul coming, God using him in a powerful way. And when we think of the number of letters that have been written, that Paul wrote, you know that God had a great desire to use him, and did use him. And we know that Paul did suffer much, certainly at the hands of men. But all that, as he was growing up, the education, etc., and even the persecution of believers that he was responsible for. We know this was all part of God's plan. And for us, it's perhaps hard to understand some of the things that God allows. But we have to continue to trust him, because God is sovereign. And in his providence, he's able to do what he desires, again, as mentioned, as we look to him. So, as we look through this, in Christ, we look at verse 3, we can say that I am blessed. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So in Christ I am blessed. In verse 4, "In Christ I am chosen, according as he hath chosen us in him," that is in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." John 6:37, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Verse 39, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And I know that for some of us, Isaiah 53 is a great chapter that we love. Isaiah 53:11 says, "He shall see of the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." A commentator has written, "The word is used here to denote excessive toil, labor, weariness, and refers to the arduous and wearisome labor and trial involved in the work of redemption, as that which exhausted the powers of Messiah as a man, sunk him down to the grave." And another point, all those who become believers in Christ may therefore be said to be given to Jesus as the reward of his sufferings, for his death was the price by which they were redeemed. Point 3 and 4 of in Christ, "I am predestinated, I am adopted." Verse 5 says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And if you want further reading, look at Acts 4:28 and 1 Corinthians 2:7. But in these places the word evidently means to determine, purpose, or decree beforehand. And it has that meaning here. No other idea could be consistent with the proper meaning of the word. It is clear also that it doesn't refer to external privileges, but to real conversion. Since that to which they were predestined was not the external privilege of the gospel, but conformity to his Son and salvation. Then we can also look at Romans 8:30. And again, in Christ, not only am I predestinated, I am adopted, but verse 6 says, I am accepted. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I am accepted. Again, it's mentioned in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And so in Christ, these are things that we have. I am accepted. And then 6 and 7, for verse 7 it says, "I am redeemed, I am forgiven, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." When Christ went to the cross and shed his blood, we were redeemed if we accepted the finished work that he did. When we accept Christ, we can have forgiveness of sins. And it says that it's according to the riches of his grace. All that God has done through his Son for us is marvelous. we can rejoice in that fact. So in Christ also, I am enlightened. And I also think that verses 17 and 18 would fall into this category as well. But verse 89 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And mystery just means it's a hidden or secret thing that has now been revealed that we can understand. A hidden or secret thing that has now been revealed and can be understood. The mystery of his will. We, in this day and age, and those in the New Testament could understand this, but those in the Old Testament could not. It was a mystery to them. But now it's been revealed to us. And verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So far, in Christ, I am blessed, I am chosen, I am predestinated, I am adopted, I am accepted, I am redeemed, I am forgiven, I am enlightened. And as we read in verses 11 and 12, I am an heir, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So not only do we have all these things of being accepted of things in Christ, but in verse 13 it says, I am sealed, or I am secure, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, sealed by the Spirit of God, sealed with that promise. And then, number 11, I am assured. Assured because, which is, verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Name that I find hard to pronounce. Zadiades comments on this phrase that the earnest of our inheritance refers to the act of the Holy Spirit whereby he makes the pledge, providing assurance for the believer of an eternal life in Christ, which he must accept by faith. And then Paul goes on talking to the Ephesians, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints, and cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Where were you? When I thought of this verse, as mentioned earlier, how important it is that we can pray for one another. I know that at Bethel we have a prayer calendar, and it lists everyone who regularly attends. And over a period of 7 days, all are prayed for at least once during the week. Excuse me. I know you have a chapel list, and even those names could be divided up so that, say, perhaps 4 or 5 people you are praying for, so that during the week, everyone is brought before the throne of grace. And I find that it's very helpful because at least the prayer calendar that we have, as I mentioned, you're praying for everyone at least once a week. And if you know their special needs that they have, you can remember them day after day. And it's encouraging that others know that, you know, I'm being prayed for. And Paul, can you imagine that? All the people that he knew and was in contact with, the Ephesian believers, he could say of them that he ceased not to give thanks, but he also mentioned them when he was praying. And verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Again, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verses 19 to 23, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And this is far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When we look at this first chapter of Ephesians, we find, as you go through the book of Ephesians, that it does deal with the body of Christ, the church, and there are instructions for us in these first three chapters. In the 4, 5, and 6, it's practical things that we can do to serve him. And just to know that in Christ, we have all of these blessings. Thing is, what are we going to do with them? God wants to bless, and he does. There's much that he has in his word. I know David was saying that he has an opportunity to read at least 5 chapters a day, and how great that is to be able to go through the Word of God. And just by reading the Word, you know that the Holy Spirit is able to work in your heart and life. Even as I mentioned, going through in preparation for today and coming across the verse that I perhaps read before but didn't realize, about Paul and the life of Paul, when you think of all the things that he did against the Christians, to find that he realized that in 1 Galatians 1:15, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. From birth, God had a purpose and plan for his life. We too, God has a purpose and plan for us. And no matter what age we are, today, God still wants to work out his plans in our lives and to use us for his glory and for his honor. So we bow in prayer. Father, we are thankful again for your word. Father, may it encourage and challenge us to serve and live for you. Father, no matter what age we are, young or old, you do have a purpose and plan. Help us to seek your will for our lives so that we can indeed be used for your glory and honor. Father, there are many in this world that we know around about us, neighbors, friends, co-workers, schoolmates, that do not know Christ. By our lives, by our actions, we can impact them for good. So do help us, Lord, I pray. Be with us this day. Continue to guide and strengthen those who need your comfort and grace. Father, provide your care to those who have situations coming up, even this week. So we commit it all to you. Give you thanks. Know our time is gone, but can we sing hymn number 273, please? Hymn 273.